I invite you to find 2 Chronicles. We'll be looking at it, 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, in a few moments here. And it's one of those Old Testament history books, and just wanted you to get back there and find it. So when we go to it, you will be there. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." You've probably heard those words, because we shared those words out of 1 Chronicles 16, and we shared those words out of Psalm 95, and we shared those words out of Psalm 100, and we're going to find them a few other places in Scripture this morning. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. It was November 22nd, I remember it very clearly, 2007, and I received an email, and in the subject line of the email were these words. They're the title of the message, basically. "You have no idea the power of thanksgiving. You have no idea the power of thanksgiving." And so when I got that email, and it was a Thanksgiving greetings, and it talked about the power of thanksgiving, that it was the most positive emotional response that we could have, that it would give a person more energy. And I began to look into Scripture, and I found out that there's over 120 verses throughout the Old and New Testament that say, "Give thanks." And so for the last 3 years, I have been just slowly working through about a dozen of these passages. And every year I take another dozen of them. I didn't want to do 120 all of a sudden all at once, because I knew the impact wouldn't be the same. So every year I pull out this list, and I've just been going through them in the month of November, and you've been going through them with me. You just didn't know it this month. I've been discovering just how powerful thanksgiving really is, and I want you to know some of the biblical truths that I've discovered. You know John 8, 31 and 32. "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. I want to be a disciple, the student, a follower of Jesus Christ." And so it's saying, if you hold to my teaching, and it is an if-then statement, if you hold to my teaching, then you will be my disciple. I want to be a disciple, so what does that tell me? I need to hold to His teaching. But it's kind of a double if-then statement, because in the next verse, it flows right out of it. If you hold to my teaching, there's a second then. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I want to know the truth, because I know that there are things in my life that keep me from being all that God has created me to be. I want to be a disciple, so I need to obey His teachings. And His teachings are that which set me free from things that hold me back from being all God wants me to be. So I want to be obedient to His teachings, that I would indeed be free. I happen to believe that one of the things that God calls of us is to be a grateful people. That God calls us to give thanks to His name. And it's as we give thanks that we then know the truth. I believe there's a certain truth about giving thanks. And if we know that truth about giving thanks, then it is going to free us up from some things. It's going to free us up from discouragement. It's going to free us up from being filled with despair. It's going to free us up from depression, so that we can be set free from that which holds us down, so that we can truly be free, that all God has called us to be. And so, I want us to be looking and discovering this morning at just some of the aspects of the power in giving thanks. If the Old Testament urges us in 1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks to the Lord. And we look in the New Testament, and it tells us in Ephesians 5, always give thanks to God the Father. Then giving thanks must be pretty important. So just how important is giving thanks? 5 points this morning. You can fill in the blanks. The first one is thanksgiving protects us from disastrous living. Thanksgiving protects us from going down the wrong path. If we are not giving thanks to God, the results will be disastrous. The Apostle Paul warns us about people who know God but fail to give thanks to God. Yes, I realize that I looked at this verse 2 weeks ago, but I want to look at it even again in another context. Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. If we are not giving thanks to God, if we're not glorifying and honor God for who He truly is, what's it say there? It says their thinking becomes futile. We lose the capacity to think clearly. Because we lose the capacity to understand the whole universe. If we lose sight of the glory of God, if we lose sight of the holiness of God, if we lose sight of the Lord God Almighty, Creator and Redeemer, and if we lose sight of who God is and we're not thanking God, then our thinking becomes futile. And it says, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And our hearts become darkened, which means that we no longer have the ability to see clearly, but we see things darkly. We see things as they're not really the way they are. We all of a sudden have very, very, very dark sunglasses. How many of you have had your cataracts removed? There's a bunch of us here. And when we came out from having our cataracts removed, they knew that the sunlight was going to hurt us. So they put these super dark sunglasses on that were like so dark you could hardly, they hardly let any light in at all. When we miss out on giving thanks to God, we all of a sudden have that over our eyes that darkens everything, and we cannot see things clearly. If we're not giving thanks to God, then we most likely are filled with a sense of envy and resentment and bitterness. And as we get filled with envy and resentment and bitterness, we then look at everything through the eyes of envy, resentment, and bitterness. And we begin to perceive things as if we don't have anything. But the reality is we have so, so much. And God has so blessed us. We need to understand that thanksgiving does protect us from going down the wrong path. The next point, thanksgiving opens the door to God's presence. And this point is really for those of you that weren't here last week. And for those of you who were here last week, you know that this was the entire message last week. And we need to continually be reminded that thanksgiving is that which opens up the door into God's very presence. Now, we're about, it's hard to believe, I'm having difficulty getting my head wrapped around it, but next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And so, yes, we'll talk about the hope that God wants for us. And then the next week, we'll talk about the peace that God wants. And then the next week, we'll talk about the joy. And then the next week, we'll talk about the love. And then we'll have Christmas Eve. It'll be here before we know it. We know that peace and hope and joy and love, where they're found. They're found in the very presence of God. We know that. It's just like part of us. It's what Romans 1, talked about, that we just know inside that where those qualities that we so desperately want, where they're really found. They're found in God's presence. So the question is how do we get them? Well, we get them from getting into God's presence. And how do we get into God's presence? We get into God's presence through the giving of thanks. And so we just look at the four verses that we looked at last week. Psalm 95, let us come before him with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Psalm 89, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. We come into God's presence through thanksgiving. As we looked at Psalm 22, that God is enthroned upon our praise. We come into his presence and we lift him up. We give him his rightful place. And that is when we then are in his presence. That is when we are walking in his light. That thanksgiving brings us into the very presence of God, where God then is capable of pouring out his light, his presence, his blessings upon us. It is then that we experience his life, his love, his joy, his peace, his hope in our lives. Thanksgiving opens the door to God's presence. The next one, thanksgiving leads to blessing. Now let me shoot a statement by you. Does obedience to God lead to blessing? Yes or no? It's not that hard of a question. But you might think about it, and if there's any hesitation in your mind, then let me give you the flip side of it. Does disobedience lead to God's blessing? Now, you know the answer to that one. But we seem to be hesitant to say, but obedience leads to God's blessing. Okay, now if obedience leads to God's blessing, is giving thanks something that God calls us to do? Absolutely. And probably the most difficult one that we struggle with is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For it says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we know that it is difficult to give thanks. And we know that it doesn't say give thanks to God for every circumstance. But to give thanks to God in the midst of the circumstances that we're going through. Oftentimes it's difficult to find good whenever we are experiencing something bad. But one of the things we need to remember is that God promised what? He promised to cause all things to work together for good for those who love him. We need to realize that God is working in our lives. And so God does call us to always give the appropriate perspective, put him in the appropriate place, and to come into his presence with the gift of thanksgiving and praise. And so as we come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, we are saying, God, we know that you are who you are. And we know that you are the king and that you reign. You reign through over all things. And so all things are going to be a working out according to your good will and your good pleasure. No, I'm not thanking you for this, because this is clearly defined as bad. But I am thanking you that you are who you are and you are in the midst of what is going on right now. Thanksgiving can lead to blessing because God calls us and requires us to give thanks. The next one comes from Bill Yant. Bill Yant has the statement that thanksgiving is the postage stamp for answered prayer. I thought this was rather interesting. Had never thought about this till I read this just a couple years ago. Bill writes that our prayers are like letters being sent to heaven, but many of them are marked return to sender, because they have insufficient postage. I thought, okay, how are my prayers returning from heaven with insufficient postage? He quotes Philippians 4:5-6. Do not be anxious about anything, But in everything by prayer and petition. Okay, we got that. And then what's it say? The postage stamp. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the result, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we want the peace of God that transcends all understanding, what does it say? Pray. And how are we to pray? We pray with thanksgiving. The thanksgiving is the stamp upon the prayer as you're sending it off into God's presence. Your thanksgiving is the postage. Because what are you giving thanks to? You're giving thanks to God, and you're naming God for who He is. You're giving thanks to God for all the things that God is in fact doing. See, the postage stamp isn't just the thanksgiving. It is the recognition that God is who God is. And when we recognize and we acclaim God for who God is, we welcome Him into our circumstances. And that's usually the bulk of the answer right there. We have been teaching the Acts model for prayer in our home front times. And I just remind you that our next home front time, when we as a congregation, the Galloway family, we gather for a special prayer time, a special worship time at the beginning of this Advent season. So we'll be together here on a Wednesday evening, December 8th, and we'll start out with a fellowship meal, and then we'll gather together for a time of worship and prayer. And we use the ACTS model. Let's see how many of you know it. What does A stand for? What was it? Adoration. Adoration, just recognizing for God for who God is. What's the C? Confession, where we recognize not only in adoration who God is, but in the confession we recognize who we are and that we've messed up. Okay? What's the T? Thanksgiving. A very significant part of prayer. And see, we recognize who God is. We recognize through thanksgiving all that God has done. And we confess that we've messed up, which is a recognition of who God is in relationship to who we are. And then, what's the S? Supplication. Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. See, the supplication comes after we have given thanks. That's God's order, folks. The postage stamp is giving thanks. You don't want your prayers coming back. Return to sender. The next point, number four, thanksgiving confuses and defeats the enemy. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you've not read this chapter, if you don't know this story, I just encourage you. There's so many little tidbits in it. It really needs to be made into a movie. And so just read through it slowly sometime this week. Verse 20. Or chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming up against you. Now, Jehoshaphat, alarmed by the potential violence that was going to be brought upon them. In verse 3, he inquired of the Lord. He proclaimed a fast. They sought God's face. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly in front of the people, and basically that whole next session says this: God, we know who you are, and we know who we are. But yet he still said, God, we don't know what to do. Down in verse 12, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast enemy that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. Adoration was there. He recognized who God was. Confession was there. He recognized we don't know what to do. Over in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of, man, I don't know why they had to get into everybody. Well, he stood up in verse 15. Listen, king, and all you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. Tomorrow, get up an army, march down there. Okay, so you're going to be absolutely outnumbered, like 10,000 to 1. But go ahead, go down. And oh, by the way, Jehoshaphat says, let's send the Levites first. Those were the priests, the ones who led them in worship. You know, let's send the Levites out first and let them sing. So jump down to verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Now, if you want to read on down to the end of the story, it took them 3 days to get all their spoils. What's the point? The point is thanksgiving can confuse and defeat the enemy. How does thanksgiving confuse and defeat the enemy? Well, it starts with adoration. In verse 6, you rule, God. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. Then there was that confession. We have no power. We don't know what to do. In verse 12, then there was the word rightly spoken. Do not be afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's. Go face them tomorrow. And verse 18 and 19, after consulting the people, Joseph had appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness, as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, verse 22, the Lord set the ambush against the enemy. Thanksgiving puts God in His rightful place in your battle. And God in His rightful place in your battle reminds the one that is attacking what His place is. And it is in the place of you've already been defeated. As we lift high the cross, as we celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are reminding the enemy that what Christ has been done for all, and that He is risen victorious forever and ever. And so when we lift up God's name, when we give thanks, when we adore Him for who He is, when we give thanks for what He has done in the past, we can also be giving thanks to Him for what He is doing right now in the moment, because He will bring confusion upon the one who attacks you, because He will remind him that he has already been defeated. There is power, folks, in praise, in worship, in giving thanks. One last point. It's really 2 points. Thanksgiving precedes and follows God's blessings. There's a lot of things we could say about Thanksgiving, but let me just conclude with these two. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? They brought the loaves and the fishes. We talk a lot about multiplication in the church, about God taking what we have and multiplying it. It's a good thing. Continue to pray. I pray that God multiplies the time that He gives me. I pray that God multiplies the resources that He gives me. I pray that God multiplies His flock, that others would come to know Him. Multiplication is good in the kingdom of God. But notice this simple, simple point. When they brought those few fish and loaves, what did Jesus do? First took the bread, and He lifted it, and He gave thanks. And then it tells us that then He did the exact same thing with the fish. He gave thanks for what He had. Folks, if we want to see God mightily work in our midst, if we want to see God multiply, we need to first recognize what God has given to us. We need to be a thankful people for one another. We need to be a thankful people for this facility. We need to be a thankful people for His Word. We need to be a thankful people for His Spirit. We need to be a thankful people for His salvation. We need to be a thankful people for the gifts that He has given to each and every one of us. It is only when we recognize what He has given to us that He then multiplies what He has given to us and uses it mightily as His witness. Thanksgiving precedes blessings. We started out 3 weeks ago with Luke 17, the story of 10 lepers. 10 came, Jesus healed them as they went to the priest. One of them turned around and came back. We find these words in Luke 17, 16, and 17. One of them, realizing he was healed, turned back, falls at the feet of Jesus, praised God in a loud voice, and gave thanks. And Jesus said, "Were not there 10 that were healed? As you have been blessed by God, remember to give thanks." You see, giving of thanks precedes the blessing, and it always must follow the blessing. Because Jesus, after He came and He gave thanks, it was then that Jesus said, "Go, your faith has made you well." And I want you to understand, it wasn't the wellness was not in His physical healing, because the other 9 were healed, were they not? What was the healing? The healing was a spiritual. The healing may have been emotional. The healing may have been a mental healing. Why? Because He came and He recognized and He put God in His appropriate place. He enthroned Him upon His praise. And then in enthroning Him upon His praise, then Jesus said, "Now go, for your faith, for your giving of thanks, recognizes who I am, and so because you've recognized who I am, I want you to have all that I have for you." And He blessed him. Understand, folks, giving of thanks precedes and it needs to follow God's blessings, because as it does, God then has even greater blessings for you. Now, how do we give thanks? I put it in your outline. There's one typo, and I want you to note it. 6 points. How can we cultivate grateful hearts? 1, recognize the, and it's not damage. It could be, but the word that I wanted there was danger. Just recognize the danger. And maybe you need to recognize the damage of not giving thanks. Recognize the danger of not giving thanks. That's Romans 1:21. Number 2, put to memory the verses that call us to give thanks. The word "give thanks" throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, evenly distributed between both 126 times. Put them to memory. Number 3, thank God for being God. Thank God for what He's given you. Number 4, thank God for how He used and brought you through the difficult things in the past. Because until we do number four, we can't do number five. Thank God for what He is doing through the hard things in your life today. And number six, practice giving thanks. Remember what we said last year, it is a learned behavior. It does not come naturally to us. Because naturally we are sinful by nature, and so as sinful people by nature, we have a tendency to be very selfish, self-centered, resentful, full of envy and bitterness. So we need to practice and work at giving thanks, because when we do give thanks, there is great power in thanksgiving. I'll invite the worship team to come up as I remind you from Psalm 103. God has forgiven all your sins. God has healed all your diseases. God has redeemed our lives. God has crowned us with love and compassion. God has satisfied us with goodness. God has made known to us His ways. God is compassionate and gracious. God is slow to anger. He is always abounding in love. God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us for the wrong we've done. God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And God has compassion on us as He knows our weakness. God is love everlasting to everlasting. So what are we going to do about it? Stand with me, please. Read this verse as we lead into a song of giving thanks. Let's read together. Praise the Lord, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Let's praise Him.